You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, October 10th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Come to the Stone.
That's good. Amen. Take your Bible, please. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, to whom coming? Says, as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I want to speak this morning on come to the stone. Here you'll see the Bible talks about a stone and a living stone, and the Holy Spirit is very quick to differentiate one from the other. Matter of fact, in verse 5, the Bible says, ye also as living stones. And so when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, you become likened unto him in that what he has, he gives you, which is eternal life. You know, I am born again. Therefore, I am a child of God. Here, it talks about a living stone. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, he becomes likened unto living stones. Then the Bible describes him in verse 6, where it says that he is the chief cornerstone. Then the Bible talks about those in verse 8, where it says a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Even them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so God is giving, if you will, two different type of pictures here. He's talking about the living stone, whereby when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, you become living stones. Then he's talking about that which is a stone of offense, a stone of stumbling, a stone, if you would please, that you trip over. And that stone, of course, is for those that are disobedient to that which is teaching right here. You know, years ago, when I was a young man, my parents took a trip and we went to Virginia. It was right off of the Potomac River, and we went to the Arlington National Cemetery. The Arlington National Cemetery has 612 acres. On that 612 acres is 240,000 of our armed soldiers that was buried there. It's the largest cemetery in the United States. In that cemetery, there's presidents such as William Howard Taft and John F. Kennedy. There's Supreme Court justices such as Chief Justice Earl Warren and Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. There's those that were explorers. You might remember that, which is Robert Perry or Matthew Henson. And they're buried in that place. And when you walk into that place, you see the headstones. When you walk in that place, you see the grave lots, if you will. And that reminds us that there will be a final stone for you and I. You know, when we think about that which is funerals, it's not really a bright thing to think about. I know that Brother Herod's dad went home to be with the Lord, and we had the funeral here. And then we had Brother Moon that went home to be with the Lord, and we had the funeral here. And Mrs. Smith went home to be with the Lord. Of course, Pastor Smith, pastor of a church in Fort Worth, and we had the funeral here. Then Brother Gonzalez's oldest brother went home to be with the Lord. Then Mrs. Engelman went home to be with the Lord. And when you attend a funeral service, it's not normally something that is a happy time. But yet, if a person prepares to be able to meet their God by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, it can be a time of comfort, because they're not going to be in that which is hell and then later delivered into the lake of fire. And so it can always be a time of comfort, though we miss them and though they're not here with us. Years ago, there was a man decided, you know, I really want to take some of my money with me. And so what I want to do is I want to arrange for some of my money to go with me when I die. And he was a good church member, and so he decided he was going to call three of his best friends. He said, I know that they'll do what is right. And so he said, here's what I'm going to do. I want to take some of my money with me, so I'm going to give each one of you $30,000. And so when you walk past the casket, when you walk past the coffin, I want you to put that $30,000 in an envelope, put it in my casket, so that I can take my money with me. And so they were on the way back from the funeral. They were riding the limousine, and the preacher spoke up, which was one of the best friends of the member, and said, you know, he was a good member, but I have to confess, in the envelope that I put in the coffin, I didn't put $30,000. You see, we had a great need at our church. Our baptistry was in disarray and disrepair. And so I needed $10,000 for the baptistry, but I feel like I need to confess that I only put $20,000 in the envelope. Well, at that time, his other friend, the physician, spoke up and he said, well, now that we're confessing, I guess I need to confess too. He said, I didn't put $30,000 in the envelope either. He said, I only put $10,000. Matter of fact, I purchased the machine that if I would have had it, I could have diagnosed him early and probably found out the cause that was causing him to eventually going to die. And so I didn't want other people to die, so I only put $10,000 in the envelope. Finally, the lawyer spoke up and he said, well, I guess I need to confess too. All I did was write a check for $30,000 and put it in an envelope. Now, may I say, you cannot take that which is money with you. One thing you can take with you is somebody else. One thing you can make sure of is that your relatives understand their need of receiving Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ, and even Jesus speaking himself, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. That means there's only one way. If we're talking about receiving Jesus Christ in baptism, that's two ways. Or talking about receiving Jesus Christ and holding out faithful to the end, that would be two ways. If we're talking about receiving Jesus Christ and trying to keep one of the Ten Commandments or the seven sacraments or joining a religious institution, no, Jesus emphatically said, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there has to be a way that I can go to heaven by understanding who Jesus Christ is. Let's notice in our Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, to whom coming as unto the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look at verse 7. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Bible says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, a stone, which it says the builders disallowed, it says the same being made the head cornerstone. And so give me one of you fellows with a jacket on, if you will. Dale, you come help me, if you will. Here's what we see. We see the Bible talks about that which is a stone. Now, that which is a stone, you can trip over. I don't know if you've ever stubbed your foot on a stone. I don't know if you ever dove into the water and maybe you hit your back on a stone. I don't know if you've ever been walking across a stream and your foot slipped, and when your foot slipped, your ankle hit another stone. I don't know if somebody perhaps has picked up a stone one day and they were just playing around. They were trying to hit something beside you, but they missed and they hit you. I don't know if you've ever had a bad experience with a stone. I don't know if you've ever gone rock climbing and by scaling the side of the cliff, all of a sudden the stones begin to fall and you lose your footage, and before you know it, you fall down the side of the cliff and you hit stones all the way down. You know, stones are not very comforting. Stones are not something that is pleasant sometimes to come into contact with. But the Bible mentions not just a stone, but it mentioned also in the Bible a living stone. Now, this living stone is an example of Jesus Christ. This living stone is something that's different. You know, the stone represents the curse or the crush, but that which is the living stone is somebody, if you would please, that you could come to and sit upon, that gives a foundation for your life. That living stone is something, if you will please, that's likened onto a cushion where Jacob laid his head upon the stone. That which is the stone over here would be a stumbling, but that which is the stone over here gives me a step up. And the Bible talks about that which is the living stone versus that which is a stone. See, a stone you can stumble upon, but a living stone, if you will please, if a stone could live, and the Bible talks about Jesus Christ being that which is a living stone, but that living stone, you think about sitting in a chair that's living. I mean, if we were to put a person, okay, let's put a person. And so, brother, okay, you come here if you will and sit right here. And so we're going to say that Brother Wislowski is a living stone, living, breathing stone. Now, if we take and we put somebody in that living stone, come here if you will, please, and all of a sudden he sits upon the living stone, then the living stone all of a sudden becomes real. Now, how would you like to sit upon a chair and the chair all of a sudden snap you, grab you, begin to massage you, hurt you? No. Oh, no, no, no. All right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a living stone. Can you imagine sitting? I don't know if you've ever sat in these chairs. I went to the fair. First time I ever went to the Texas fair. We took our college students and some church members and went down to the Texas fair. And I noticed that they had these weird looking chairs. Matter of fact, I thought that Brother Bell was going to decide to live at the fair. And so, but they had these chairs, and you lay in these chairs, and these chairs, you press buttons, and the chairs begin to move. I mean, they begin to come alive according to the way you press the button, whether smooth or not smooth, or endurance or suffering, you know. But you press the button, and those buttons that you press, that chair begins to come alive, and it begins to contour itself to your body. And from what I understand, you know, there's runners that's going up your back, and then runners that's going down your leg, and then runners that's encompassing you on the sides and stuff like that. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That's a chair that comes alive. Now, let me say something. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you are quickened. You are made alive in Christ Jesus. When a person comes to church and they're not saved, they don't understand the author, they don't understand the Bible, because the Bible is spiritually discerned. But there's something about knowing the author. There's something about knowing the one that wrote the book. There's something about coming into contact with that individual. Now, and who is he? He's the living stone. It's like singing in a chair that comes alive. It's like sitting in a chair that all of a sudden the electricity is plugged in, and that chair begins to massage you, and that chair begins to meet your needs, and that chair begins to take away the hurt, and that chair begins to take away the pain. And there's nobody that can take away the pain, and there's nobody that can take away the hurt like Jesus Christ. And so the Bible calls him a living stone. He's not just there to give you a firm foundation. He's not just there for you to put your foot upon, but he is there for you to rest your life upon, for you to build upon, for you to take your children and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, may I say this morning, he is a living stone. All right, watch this. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. You stay there. Here's what we see in the Bible. The Bible says here that a stone of stumbling. The Bible says a rock of offense. So how is it to one person, Jesus Christ becomes just a stone, but yet to another person, he becomes a living stone? It's because of a relationship that you have with him. You know, when you have a relationship with someone else, it makes all the difference in the world. Mrs. Wells and I will hold hands as we walk. There's a relationship. We would get kissy-wissies from each other, relationship. But I'm not going to do that to somebody else. No relationship. Amen. And so there's a difference between that which is a stone and a living stone. Years ago, there was a younger teacher, and she was an atheist, and she stood up before her little class, and these are small children, and she said, "I'm an atheist," and she began to explain what an atheist was, and she said, "How many of you are an atheist too?" Well, all the little children, really not completely understanding what she said, raised their hand, all except one. It was little Cindy. Little Cindy sat in that classroom, and the teacher came over, and the teacher said, "Well, why did not you raise your hand?" And she said, "Because I'm not a theist. I'm not a theist." And she said, "Well, what do you mean you're not a theist? What are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And the lady said, "Well, why are you a Christian?" She said, "Because my granddaddy's a Christian, my mama's a Christian, my daddy's a Christian, and when it came time for me to understand, I became a Christian, and I am not ashamed of it." And the teacher began to get irritated and said, "Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. You're a Christian because you saw that your grandfather was a Christian, your grandmother was a Christian, your mom was a Christian, your dad. That doesn't make any sense at all." Well, what if your granddaddy and what if your grandmother, what if they decided to be an atheist? Then what would you be if your grandfather and your grandmother and your mom and your dad would be an atheist? Then what would you be? I mean, after all, you know, they are idiots if they're Christians. And she said, then I would be what you are. And I guess then that would be an idiot. Well, that was a little girl. Now, may I say, when it comes down to that which is truth, we have to understand 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, who is a liar that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? So a person has to understand who Jesus is. Statement number one, there are those that reject him. What happens when a person rejects him is now he becomes, if you will, a stumbling block in their life. But to the one that receives him, he becomes a living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible also says, to whom coming, it says, as unto a living stone, it says, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So when you receive something, it becomes chosen of God. When you receive something that's a gift, many times the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so when God gives you a gift and it comes from him, but this is even more important than just a gift. You know, if somebody gave me a stone this morning, I would not be impressed. If somebody came up and said, preacher, I got a nice gift for you and I love you so deeply, and this shows the expression of my love. And they give me a gift and all it is a stone. Now that may mean something precious to them. But to me, it's a stone. Hello? But if you gave me a stone that all of a sudden I looked at the stone and the stone started talking to me, that'd be different. If all of a sudden I reached out and I held a stone and the stone held me back, that would be different. If all of a sudden I looked at the stone and I started patting the stone and then the stone jumped up and started patting me, you say, what would you do? I'd run. But that would be different. See, there's a difference in seeing God as God, and there's a difference in seeing God as your Father. There's a difference in coming to him and saying, hey, wait a minute, he is just a stone. No, he's more than just a stone. He's a living stone. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one that you can rest upon. He's the one that you can stand upon. He's the one that you can sit upon. He's the one that you can raise your children upon. I'm telling you, you've got a strong foundation, but that strong foundation is in nobody else save Jesus Christ. Look, we're not dealing with just the stone of religion. You know, people stumble over the stone of religion. You know, we live in a work society here in Western civilization. You work for a house, you work for that which is a car, you work to pay for this, and some of you are still paying off your children. I mean, and we work and we work and we work and we work. And if we're not careful, here's what we do. We allow that to carry over to our belief system in God. But yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. See, the Bible talks about when I come to God, there's no works involved whatsoever. You cannot be baptized enough in order to merit your way to heaven. You cannot join enough churches in order to merit your way to heaven. You cannot be good enough and turn over enough leaves in order to merit your way to heaven. That's why the Bible says that he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is not in a religion. Everlasting life is not in a church. Everlasting life is not in a baptism. Everlasting life, listen to me, is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, he becomes alive to me. I mean, now he's living, he is breathing. Now, listen to this, if you will. The Bible talks about as we become those. So look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, it says, ye also as living stones. It says, are built, it says, up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and offered up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I become like he is. And by the way, everybody's important. Years ago when there's a church, First Baptist Church, that's in downtown Dallas, and there was a pastor there years ago, and his name was Brother Criswell. Brother Criswell was known all over the country, and when Brother Criswell was just 12 years of age, he went to the First Baptist Church of Memphis. Brother Criswell was in the service that day. Brother Wiley was the pastor, and he was in church service that day, and that's when Dr. John L. Rice was just a young man, but he was lean singing in that particular revival service. And Brother Criswell heard the message that day, and he walked forth, stay with me, he walked forth at age 12. But Brother Wiley's brother, that was a farmer out in New Mexico, had come to the service that day. He was a dirt farmer, and he came in from New Mexico, and he'd been praying for him for a long time to get right with God. And so his brother walked down that aisle that day, and Brother Wiley's brother got right with God, and he's standing there. Boy, everybody's rejoicing. They've been praying for this man for years. Brother Wiley's been the pastor of that church for over 40 years. An older man, 72 years of age, and his brother comes walking down the aisle, and boy, he makes things right with God. And he'd been a backslider for a long, long time, and everybody rallied around him. But on that day, Mr. Criswell, Brother Criswell, came forward as a 12-year-old little boy, and he stood there too because he had some things he needed to make right, and nobody gave him any attention. Now, may I say, God never gets too busy for you. We're looking at a God in heaven, the Bible talks about, that was rejected by men, but yet we're looking at his son that was chosen by God. Listen, his son was rejected. He was rejected just like Dr. Criswell was on that particular day. But listen to me. Here's what you see, that as people reject Jesus Christ, he becomes a stumbling block to them. They begin to think, well, I'll tell you what, I can't understand that. Well, of course you can't understand it. Why? Because the Bible is spiritually discerned. The Bible is known. Once you know the author, you can understand the Bible. But if you don't know the author, it's hard to open the Bible and understand it. It's hard to open the Bible and read it. It's hard to open the Bible and receive spiritual application. Why? Because you have to come in contact with that which is the living stone. That living stone is none other than Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I said statement number one, he was rejected by men. Statement number two, chosen by God. Statement number three, and I'm done, accepted by sinners. Accepted by sinners. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, he also, it says, watch it, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. It says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted by God by Christ Jesus. Listen to it, accepted, it's acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Watch what it says, verse 6. The Bible says, wherefore also, it says, it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. The Bible says, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. All right? And so the Bible teaches here that he is that chief cornerstone. You know, years ago, Elvis Presley lived in Memphis, Tennessee. He died August the 16th, 1977, 33 years ago. On the 30th anniversary of his death, temperatures reached over 100 degrees in 2007. There was a man that was a builder that came all the way from Houston to go up there. He was 46 years of age, builder in Houston. His name was Michael Madrid. And Mr. Madrid said that day, he said, you know, I prayed, listen to me, I prayed to Elvis, and Elvis blew the winds to give us a nicer day. His wife, Sherry, stood beside him and said, yes, I want you to know that I love Elvis more than I love anyone else in the entire world. People would wear T-shirts with that which is Elvis's image on it. 600,000 people go to Graceland every single year to celebrate his death. If you go out to Denver, in Denver, Colorado, is a church out there, and it's called, listen to it now, it's called the Church of Elvis. They have worship services there. They have a shrine that looks like Elvis and a dial type of format. And people raise hands and they pray to Elvis to get their prayers answered. Now, may I say, listen to me. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why the Bible teaches, listen to it. The Bible says in verse 8, and it says, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. The Bible says, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, says, whereunto also they were appointed. And so there is some people that hear about that which is Jesus Christ, the living stone. But to them, he's just a stone. To them, he's just another being. But to those of us that understand he's the Son of God, and to those of us that understand that he left the portals of glory, and for those of us that understand that he came to earth and for 33 years he did the Father's will, and for those of us that understand that he went to the cross and he shed his blood, and for those of us that understand that only Jesus Christ has the power to save, then he becomes a living stone for you and I. Listen to it, Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, and I'm done. The Bible says, and this the stone, which is set up at the naught, it says, of you builders, which is become the head cornerstone. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other under heaven, it says, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So only Jesus Christ, talking about that stone, only Jesus Christ can be the one that forgives sin. How would you like to have somebody come in your life this morning that all of a sudden when you have problems and you sit down on that living stone, he rises up to greet you? How would you like to have somebody, you listen to me, we're not talking about that which is Buddha this morning, and we're not talking about that which is some other type of foreign god. No, we're not talking about a stone that's a graven image that's set up, but we're talking about a living stone. We're talking about the one that we can come to, and when you have a problem and you stand upon him, he is a firm foundation. But listen to me, when all of a sudden the quaking of times come and the temperate begins to rise, he's the one that can meet your need. He is the living stone. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he becomes alive to you, not just to God, not just the Savior of the world, but he becomes your Savior. He becomes your personal Savior. He becomes your personal Lord. He becomes your personal King. But don't let him become just a stone in your life. What do? You rise up. You receive Christ as Savior. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have a strong foundation. Let him become your living stone today.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.